listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 17th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here.
Very glad to have you. And as always, very glad to have those that join us live in the chat. Always love seeing you each and every week. And we also appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to go ahead and start out with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, you know, this is really piggybacking off of the newsletter that went out on yesterday, where we were talking about, you know, the importance of kind of sticking to your projects and your goals. We talked about, you know, folks and completing their, people that, you know, will get enrolled in the programs at ICMH and elsewhere and TFU and such, but they don't always finish it. You know, they don't finish the course they're currently on, and the importance of kind of, you know, discipline and sticking to and things. And I thought perfect topic for tonight too. And, you know, just to kind of roll right off, when it comes to a lot of things in life and a lot of success and whatever that is, I think it cannot be overstated how important discipline is to all of it. And really, that is just perseverance, right? That discipline that you are, you know, sticking to something, you're going through and, you know, ticking off those different steps that lead to that goal. You know, combining those goals into, you know, these different dreams and things like that. All of it kind of leads up to these bigger things, but that core of that discipline, that perseverance, that, you know, stick-to-itiveness is just critical. And, you know, I know I'm going on a ramble, but I'll just say this and then I'll give a pause for you, Dr. Vicki, because I don't want to just take up all the airtime. Frankly, I don't think anybody else does either. But when it comes to life and success, you can do everything right and make no mistakes and still not succeed like you want to or like you think you deserve. Because a lot of things in life do come down to things outside of our control, what you might call kind of that random chaos that seems to exist in the universe, right? Something hits just at the right time, and for whatever reason, variables we can't fully understand yet, you know, culture picks it up. Or, you know, the industry goes with it. You know, it's hard to say. But one thing that is very common in those situations is, you know, you need to have the talent, the capability, but also the perseverance and the discipline to stick with a goal, with a life, with a, what you're working on to achieve that will make those things hit. You know, luck is an important part of it, but you need all the other things too to really be a true, you know, kind of success and kind of lift off in this life. So I guess that's my take, Doc.
You know, we all know Robert Redford just passed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he had a good run, but it's still sad to see. But I came across one of his acceptance speeches, and he said, you know, he doesn't look back. He only looks forward. Mm-hmm. But he was taking a moment, you know, because of everyone in the room reminding him of where he's been to be in that moment. But he said he doesn't look back because he knows, and he has no regrets because he knows he gave it his all. Mm-hmm. And if we look back in our lives and we say, you know, I did my best, and under, it's always under the circumstances, right? But if we know we're doing our best, and I could have done more, could have, you know, all that, you know, as Dr. Kelly would say, could have, should have, would have, but I could have filled my time more, but we all need the downtime too, right? So it's living in the moment and looking forward, and that begs the question, what motivates you? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the motivation? And sometimes our motivations change. You know, we got, we thought we wanted that, we don't want that. Okay, fair enough. But are you going to finish what you started to say, yeah, I changed my mind? Or are you going to stop midstream? You know, when I would enroll my girls when they were young into a dance class, and it was like 8 weeks. Well, they're 2 weeks in, and I don't want to do this. No, you're going to go the 8 weeks. That's what you're going to do. You got to see it through.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do it next time? Fine. You don't have to do it next time. But at least see it through. So, you know, to back up here, to me it's what motivates us. And if you're motivated, you'll do it. Life will always have its way with us no matter what. But at least doing one thing per day toward what it is you wanted to do. You know, and look, I'm going to say that especially when you're young, you know, let's say you wanted to go to the Saturday night fun thing, mm-hmm. and it's a snowstorm. Oh, man, you're going to drive through that snowstorm because you want to go really bad. Man, you get older and say, oh, nothing's worth driving through a snowstorm. I am not driving through that snowstorm. So our, you know, our motivation, our priorities, they do change. And even to those little tiny things in life. But seeing it through, you know, doing our best to see it through so that we don't have to look back and see, yikes, you know. I've missed the boat in a lot of things, Michael. You know, like silent retreats when everybody told me I should do them. I've talked about that before. Yeah. I thought it was the dumbest thing, but turns out it was maybe needed. But again, I wasn't into it. I wasn't motivated to do that kind of work. You see, that's not my thing. So it's discipline to do anything. I know in the last week I've looked here and I said, oh, I got to wash my floors. You know, I've just got to wash my floors. This morning I woke up, I said, okay, I'm going to wash my floors. I got sidetracked. Michael, I got painting the trim outside. I got painting this. I was doing that. And before I knew it, well, I'm not cleaning my floors today. And I was motivated to do something else. But if the floors were that important, I would have done that. Now, I have a friend of mine who, you know, he's in her 60s. Works 5 days a week, but 50 hours a week. Man, she's got her schedule down. Hmm. Every Saturday, man, house cleaning, whatever shopping she needs, she's already picked up. She's pre-ordered, picks it up from the grocery store on her way home from work Friday. She washes her floors every Saturday, changes her sheets every Saturday. She's got a list of things. And on Sunday, she does all her food prep. You know, she's funny. She is so disciplined.
Right.
Throw one thing out of it. Like she went to visit friends one afternoon, it threw her schedule way off. But that was important to her. So, yeah. You know, you got to weigh it out.
You know, I love coming to this point because that is something that was on my mind too. With everything, there is balance. Balance mm-hmm. is key to everything. Too much in any one direction takes you out of alignment. And one thing that I do think about is just like your friend. Some people really focus on that discipline, and that routine becomes critical to them. They don't know how to exist outside of it. I think you can have discipline in areas and, you know, what's important to you, just like you had said earlier in the outset. And I think it's important to balance that with, don't remove the spontaneity from your life because,
right.
you know, don't remove that touch of wonder. Don't just rigidly adhere to one thing, you know. And frankly, a lot of it's a judgment act, you know. I'm a discipline to focus on your achieving your goals, discipline to keep your life in order, discipline to, you know, do all of these different things. And, you know, I kind of intertwine discipline and perseverance, although there's a clear separation. But too much in any one direction is going to take you out of whack. You know, if you can't, if you can't leave your routine every now and again, it's keeping you hostage. And if you have no discipline to keep your life in order, things will degrade fast. Your house will fall apart. Your life will fall apart. You know, it is the art of finding that balance. And that, you know, I'm not there. And, you know, frankly, if I'm going to err on either side, I probably could use a little more discipline in my life. But, you know, it's always going to be a judgment call. It's always going to be one of those things of where's the line for you. And I also just am trying to remind myself, too, there is no right answer for everybody. That right. line, that balance is going to be different for different people.
Well, I think, again, it's what motivates you. You're in a new relationship now, Michael, and you're motivated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's fun. And you got more to balance out. You got more to do. Mm-hmm. And you're motivated.
Very so, true.
And I guess what motivates us. Now, I would like to clarify something. When people mm-hmm. get down, low energy, you know, and feeling, oh, the classic word is depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that word. I don't like it because in the truest meaning of it, that would be a biochemical or even hormonal, something that's affecting your electrical system. But that's medical. So then you can certainly get assistance for that. But going through these difficult days or, you know, difficult times and just feeling that low energy, I call that oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can make that distinction, I'm feeling really oppressed. Well, oppressed what? That's spiritually oppressed, motivationally oppressed. My energy is oppressed. And rather than depressed, which is kind of helplessness, but oppressed is, you know, I'm just feeling the weight of the world. I'm feeling heavy. Well, then you just start to get out of that by doing one thing a day. And I kid you not, people, one thing a day. At the end of the day, you can look back and say, oh, at least I did one thing. You know, it's when you haven't done anything, mm-hmm. that's when it starts to propel. So whether it's you're doing your studies at IMHS or TFU, I mean, that's something extra in your life
mm-hmm.
that you're bringing into your daytime. Could that be 10 minutes of reading or 1 hour? Or maybe it's one of those things in your life where you can only do once a week. But you
right.
can sit down that once a week, give it 3 or 4 hours. That's your Saturday or, you know, that's part of your Sunday morning to say, I'm going to give my studies. I'm going to do an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give it that, because maybe that's all the time that you have for that. But keeping at least that once a week, then I did that toward that because I'm motivated to sign on. I'm motivated to take the course. And you know what? There's going to be courses that don't interest you very much or a course that you're not really pumped about, you know, but it's still part of the overall program. So you have to look at that. Well, I'm going to get through this. If I don't like it, it's usually because it's easy, right? Or mm-hmm. a disinterest because, yeah, I got to see it from another side of what I think. but I can do this. But it's one step closer to the goal. So it's however you manage that. So when you're adding something in, you have to find out where you can add that in. Otherwise, you lose motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life just takes over. That's the way I see it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny, because you're absolutely right. I have found more discipline and motivation coming into my life since this new relationship started. And you're also very right. You know, before then, I didn't have the motivation to, you know, be quite as disciplined with my routine and making sure everything was kept up to pristine, you know, to good levels, because it didn't really matter. So that is just such an important key point about the whole, you know, fight for, you know, that kind of focus on the importance of discipline and focusing on that in your life is motivation. And also, you know, I have to say, I was very interested in that, in your take and your opinion on, depression, oppression, and those kind of thoughts, and how that kind of can ramble, you know, rattle things and throw a wrench into your routine or your discipline and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's a complex world out there, you know. It's a lot of things coming at you, but, you know, again, that balance. But also in those hard times, I completely agree that, routine, discipline can add a lot of comfort, you know.
Well, even the discipline, and I'm going to go somewhere else with this, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
It's even the emotional discipline to not take out on people what they don't deserve. And, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give you an example. Again, many years ago, I was dating a fellow. We were having quite a disagreement in the car, going to visit my friend Emma. Okay, we pull up to her place, get out of the car, go in, and I'm happy. And he's not.
Mm.
And later he said, how can you do that? Just switch it off. I said, well, I'm not switching it off. Emma doesn't deserve this conversation, nor that energy. I have the discipline to emotionally shut that off, and we can pick this up later. And I, of course, I said to him, I'm surprised that you haven't learned that by now. Because, you know, don't take it out on Emma. Don't cause stress. That has nothing to do with her.
Right.
So, you know, when you walk into a room, you can cut the energy with a knife.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, come on, whoever's there had nothing to do with that, shift the energy. And that's a discipline. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about discipline to do things or the action. It's having the emotional maturity, we hope. Trust me, we all have things to learn. It's just knowing what belongs where and mm-hmm. not taking it out on other people, our mood of the day. Now, fair enough that a friend calls you and they say, how are you doing? Say, you know what? I've had a crappy day.
Yeah.
You get it out of the way and then you can move through it. If that's a friend, you're going to give it 5-10 minutes and talk about something else.
Right.
You know, because that's fairness and equitability in a friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say that's come back to, you know, giving everybody a little grace, you know. We all need it from time to time, you know, let's cut each other some slack and, you know, don't take life so seriously. As my dad used to say, he loved that phrase. I can't remember where he got it, or my granddad probably said it too. If you take life too seriously, you won't make it out alive. So, you know. I love that.
I think he still does say it, your dad.
He does. He does indeed.
He didn't used to say it. He still does.
Yeah. Well said.
That's funny. I know it's like catchy on those things. But the whole point of discipline, so whether you're still in the program or not, or maybe this is just something to remind yourself of how you live life, and even when it comes to the workplace. You know, your private life doesn't belong in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you can get it where your workplace doesn't belong at home.
Yeah.
You know, don't carry that forward. That's a discipline. And it's just being really awake to how we manage ourselves, our behaviors, our emotions, as well as our time.
Right.
So, and what we're doing with our time. Mm-hmm. I have the ability to sit and do nothing more now than I ever have, because when I was younger, I had to fill the time with everything, whether I'm sewing or I'm doing needlepoint or crocheting. I could be watching TV with the kids, but I'm crocheting a blanket. You know, I had to have something to show for my time. And now I do stuff. I'm happy to have nothing. Oh, well, what did you do with your time? Man, I know Netflix, in and out. But I'm also, this is me though. That's why I watch a movie or shows. I'm going through the whole process of the scripting of the cinematography of, you know, that's how I'm going, the directing, the acting. Because if I don't get on in the directing and acting in the first 5 minutes, I turn it off.
Yeah.
So that's where I go, because being a writer. But, you know, it's just, I don't know, checking in with yourself, folks. And, you know, of course, we got a few things. Oh, Dr. Foster has said, might think of discipline as optimization of your journey with respect to time. Certainly, you're optimizing the journey.
That's,
you know,
pretty good.
Yeah, we're only here for how long? So, what are you going to do with that? I think we all like to have something to show for our lives. I'm really going to encourage people to get some kind of creative hobby, mm-hmm. like to have some kind of hobby. I know you have animals, Michael, and you like to read and you listen to ebooks, and, you know, you have these other extracurricular things that keep you stimulated and as an expression. And maybe your IMHS is your extracurricular. Do you know what I'm saying? It's your hobby to study and read. But find something that's new and creative.
Yes. Never stop, you know, trying to expand your mind. You know, that's, again, coming right back to that thing. Too much of a routine can prohibit you from experiencing truly wonderful things in life. 100%. And when you say that everybody wants something to show, absolutely true. I do want to throw out, and there was a moment where I was reading some comments and catching up on things, so if I'm repeating something you said, stop me. But one thing I also want to point out is expectations have a lot to do with what you define as a success, right?
Yeah.
And where are you getting your expectations? That is a key thing. I will tell you, in the age of social media, too much of our expectations have been skewed by what we think our peers are doing, forgetting that too often, pretty much all the time, social media does not show truth as much as it shows a version that people are putting out, right? In terms of, you know, your general things about, those Millers, they went on another, you know, vacation on their private jet. And, you know, that should be something I should aspire to. Should it? I mean, hey, it sounds like a fun time, but is that, I mean, really the only definition of success? So, just kind of what I wanted to throw in there real quick.
But we have expectations of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son who wouldn't do anything unless he could do it perfectly the first time. It was such a task to get him to learn to give things an effort.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? I have a grandson the same way. And I didn't know this. Probably good I didn't know this. But I took him skating when he was about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying, Mormoy, I can't do this. I can't do this. Yes, you can. We got him one of those guards to go skating. Look at you. Yes, you can. This is how you do it. I did not know he had never been skating before.
Hmm.
Of course, you know, duh. But good thing I didn't know, because he is that kind of kid. I can't do it before he can do it. And I don't accept that at all. So get him out there. He got skating. I said, no, look at you. Look how good you are. You can do this. Well, he learned to skate. And that's the thing about expectations, right? He's somewhere in his karmic mind decided that if he can't do it perfectly, he's not going to bother. Well, come on, folks. You know, giving everything a little bit of effort, everything is a success. Even even if it's a 2 out of 10, according to somebody else, it's still, it's like trying to judge art. You know, mm-hmm. I have my style of art. When my second daughter came home from, I think it was grade 4, she got an A on her art class. I said, well, that's nice. Well, don't you think that's great? I said, well, no, it'd be great if it was in math, but it's just somebody's opinion.
Right.
Keep that in mind. It's just an opinion. If somebody told you, I don't think you're a good dancer, would you stop dancing? And she kind of looked at me, but she really took that to heart. I said, remember what's an opinion versus more of a fact. It's just an opinion. And that's where expectations come from, is all these preconceived notions and conditioned opinions. But I got to tell you, everybody's dealing with the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just you, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a margin of that and just got to put it to the side and never mind. Well, do it for you because you like to do it.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, you know, we are a very social species, right? You know, getting that group approval is, we cannot lie, it is a very important thing for being the human animal within balance. You know, obviously you want to put your best foot forward. You know, you take a shower before you go out and intermingle with people because you don't want to be that stinky guy, right? You keep your lawn mowed, right? Just because, you know, you're trying to keep up with the social contract and all that stuff. That's baked in. But again, it comes right back to balance. You know, if somebody just, that was a wonderful example and that was a wonderful point you made. And I love, it's fantastic because somebody doesn't like your dancing. Does it matter? Why are you doing it?
Exactly.
Are you doing it just because you want to impress? Or are you doing it because it brings you joy and the act of it just is part of also being that human animal. Humans dance. Humans sing. It's part. It brings us joy. It's part of that, you know, that cherished thing about being a human. We get to live this experience as the human animal. Let's enjoy the things that really bring us that kind of fulfillment, dare I say, that kind of meaning.
Sure.
And, you know, for hundreds of thousands of years before we were even just humans, we had music. They are saying that music and singing kind of predates other language centers in our brain. You know, that socialization, finding happiness in like-minded people like this group that we have, one of the joys of being human, you know, that we, it is, it's hard to, it's amazing how social networks, and by which I mean in your real life, social networks will extend your life in years beyond almost anything. A lonely person is at greater health risk than smokers. And that is a crazy statement. So, again, have discipline. Focus on keeping, you know, the important things to you in order. But don't be afraid to also explore and get out of your routine sometimes. Don't be afraid to dance for the sake of dancing because you love it, not because of somebody else, you know? This has just been a fantastic discussion. I'm so happy.
You know, Audra said, other people usually aren't caring how you look when you dance anyway.
Very true.
There's some really fun reels out there. There's a guy, he's a little overweight, really tall, beard, probably in his late 60s. He gets all dressed up, wears shorts, no shirt, and he's dancing online. And I mean, it's so fun. He doesn't care.
You know? Exactly.
He doesn't care. He's just having a good time. And so that's, you know, I know you've all heard this before. A lot of people say IMHS or TFU is not a real degree. Well, for them to say that, they don't understand the difference between, you know, going to Harvard, you know, versus a religious school. And what do you care? You know, somebody's trying to challenge you. Why do they care?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't care. It's just for the sake of somebody's opinion. You know,
You know, here's another phrase that, again, I know it's probably a very common phrase. I don't remember where I got it, but he's always said, what someone else thinks of me is none of my business.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mike has put in the chat here, a number of a bunch of reading material, philosophical view of discipline. Philosophers often treat discipline as both a virtue and a social structure. And the academic view of discipline, in academia, discipline means an organized body of knowledge with methods, theories, and boundaries, academic view. The tension between the two, sorry, I'm just fast forwarding here. Institutions discipline students throughout curricula, exams, and research methods. Philosophically, discipline is about self-mastery, freedom through order, and social control. That's a big one. Academically, discipline is a way of structuring knowledge that both empowers and limits inquiry. You know, I think there's never a more important time for us to understand social order, social control, and how much it affects us and minimizes a lot of things. So to discipline ourselves to kind of break free of those things, to say, no, it doesn't matter, I'm still going to do this. This is what's important to me, you know. But again, understanding the different types of discipline and how it's viewed differently depending on the circumstance, academia versus philosophical, you know, that's all important to understand.
It absolutely is.
So we've thrown it out there, Michael. Great conversation tonight.
It is.
We've thrown it out there if anybody would like cards. We have Bettina first. I see Audra's name is there.
There we are.
And then, of course, Wendy, our card keeper.
Right.
But, you know, as you all know, we got the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly. And then that Michael's going to pull as a message. And I will pull a supporting tarot card, and we'll see what kind of message we get.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just going through the chat, too, because I hadn't caught that you had thrown it in, too. So I almost missed Bettina.
Yep.
But, all right, you get number two. Bettina, that's it's been a hot minute since we pulled this one, but Inner Oracle card number two, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, which is not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, or what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard that you give yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. I love that one and how much it ties into what we were just talking about.
Well, it does. And to get the hermit as a supporting symbol, Bettina, you know, the hermit is always looking inward for the answers. So what I'm going to say is you might have shifted or turned a corner in yourself. And it sounds kind of bonkers, but I'm hearing a conversation where somebody's kind of giving you an opinion, and this is someone you might ordinarily listen to, but you're feeling a little bit different, and you say, inside, you're saying, no, I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And really being more of who you are, so that esteem and validation, you're giving it to yourself. So rather than the them esteem, you're understanding and kind of getting in touch more with the self-esteem, how you regard yourself and your own opinions, your own thoughts, your own beliefs, and how you'd like to do things, at least for you in your own world. So the hermit is that really going inside and asking yourself those questions and, you know, I'm going to say turning a corner. So good for you. I hope that makes sense to you, Bettina.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Audra, always happy to pull a card for you. Always happy to see you. Today you get number 36. Let me drop the guidebook. Give me one sec. Sorry, I'm playing with the dogs, and not always the best thing to do to do this. But all right, I did pull number 36 for you. That is gratitude, and gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life. No matter how seemingly small or insignificant, the truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Ooh, this is big, Audrey. You got the Hanged Man. So it's two major arcana in a row. Yeah, the Hanged Man. Okay, think of somebody hanging upside down, emptying his pocket, saying, who am I? But in this case, gratitude with the Hanged Man, I got a picture in my mind of chaos. So, you know, when you have to, you stop running interference and you let people live their own consequence and you have a revelation about that, saying, okay, I'm going to let them figure it out. And of course, everything goes sideways. And you step back and you say, oh, well, shrug. Say, okay, what have we learned from that? And in that gratitude of understanding the principle of sometimes we have to let that happen in order for everyone to learn a greater lesson. So it's a lesson you might already have and a gratitude you already have for a lot of things others don't. And they have to fall in. Scrape their nose sometimes. Yeah. I know that sounds weird, but that's the picture I got in this, Michael. So it's like, I'm just going to go with it. Sit back and let them do whatever. and you have an awakening of your own in that whole process.
I love it. All right. And we have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And again, Wendy, you know, you're tracking those card pulls, and we appreciate everything you do and looking for those patterns. You haven't gotten a hit yet, but I'm probably wrong. I feel like you might have gotten this one before. Number 24, truth.
Ooh.
There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or maybe a situation in life. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time for deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. And this card indicates there is truth in something or a direction.
Oh, the supporting symbol for that is the Ace of Cups, the Ace of Hearts, Wendy. Wow. Truth, Ace of Hearts. You know, I'm going to say something to do with, of course, look, it sounds cliche to say you're owning your own truth, you know, living from your heart. I know how cliche that sounds, but it's about something in particular. It's about something, someone, and where, you know, love rises to the top. And I'm not one for that because I believe that we decide how love acts, but getting to the love of something. So getting to the bottom of it and finding the love in something, and there's a truth there. And so picking out that truth and going with that. I know it sounds odd, but it's the picture in my mind, you know, that needle in the haystack and you found the needle.
Mm-hmm.
That's a visual. And so once you find that needle, it's like a revelation. It's like, oh, I get it. That's a thing that's been in the way or something that's been interrupting the flow. So there's a truth and kind of this uplifting moment of getting to the heart of matters. I love that.
That's a great message. I love
it. Yeah. And thanks to Audra, she wrote, very applicable, literally talking with others at work today about just allowing people to fail who just don't have the discipline to follow the instructions given. Yeah. And she said she's grateful to finally come to that conclusion. So certainly she said she'd been a worrier, but she'd been worried, but she feels better. Oh, you got a lot of fail. People, they got to figure it out. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it. There's a very good reason why people say that failure is the greatest teacher.
Yeah. Mm.
But, all right, and I believe our last card of the evening, if I'm not mistaken, is Dr. Cabin. And for you, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding, as well as to discover potential solutions. So I hope that connects.
Again, I'm pairing up that insight and wisdom with, and two cards came out here, Kevin. You got the Six of Spades and the Queen of Diamonds. So, the Six of Swords, on its own, is you're getting there, but there's challenges. You know, that Queen of Diamonds, or that, you know, Queen of Pentacles is obviously someone who has some insight, knowledge. It could be in work, business, legal matters. It could be your partner, you know, anybody who's kind of got an insight here. So I'm going to say, heed the advice of a woman. It's like for you overcoming an emotional hurdle or something you're trying to work through, but she has the key. She has the answer. So it's just sitting quietly for a moment and listening to that and kind of process that information. And I immediately feel more at peace. So that's the insights and wisdom from someone else who's teaching you. And it's just a big revelation for you. So, and we're always doing that for each other, everybody. So don't take that in a hard way at all, because that's actually a good thing that you have somebody in your corner saying, yeah, well, this is that, that's this, and we'll look at it this way. And, oh, I get it. Okay, we're good to go. So you got somebody in your corner, what I'm saying.
I like it. I'm forever going to be in awe on how you do that.
It beats me. You know, I've been thinking a lot about that lately. I've had some discussions with a good friend of mine. And what we're attempting to do is be very observant of where thoughts come from and how we know that. We have no conclusive answers, trust me. But it's observing more about not necessarily living in a very 2 or 3D world. When you open up the dimensions of the worlds, it's kind of like, you know, Michael, where our eyes and our brain filters out all the little spots in the air, you know, all the little dust particles and colors that are floating around. But our brain and our eyes kind of void that. You know, it's we don't need to see it. So it's kind of like that. When you want to see all those little spots, just opening that energy, if you will, to see other things. And look, I'm just as baffled by it as anybody else. Anybody says they understand it all, they're, yeah, well, I got words for that. They don't know what they're talking about. They like to think they know what they're talking about, but yeah, they don't. So we're speculating. It's all a theory, but it's kind of like taking a filter off and seeing things in 4 and 5D. That's as near as I can say.
I like that term.
Well, you know, 45 minutes goes by so fast.
I'm telling you.
45 minutes, an hour, it's amazing. I want to say we're ending the end of 2025, folks. When you think Christmas is only like 3 months away. I would like to remind everyone, I believe this with every fiber of my being. Things are going to shift around next year. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stress. It might get more stressful. Things might get a little more chaotic. Things might get a little weirder. But I want to say by May or June of next year, there is a big shift. So sometimes things have to peak before it starts to crumble. And so we can get down to reorganizing redefining, restructuring. Dr. Mike says 99 days to Christmas. Thanks, Dr. Mike.
Back down to the double digits.
I know. So I want to say we all do what we have to do. We all do our part because we're all in this together. And if you think you have a part to play in one way or another, then, you know, you've got the discipline. I'm going to go back to that. You have the motivation. Do your part. And do it in a good way. And, you know, one foot in front of the other, one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And just know that there are other energies at work also.
Mm.
So I don't want anybody to feel at this moment futility.
Yes.
It's very easy to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to feel heavy. Like, what am I doing this for? What's it all about? You know, there's a new day coming and we just have to get through the tunnel, you know, to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another side. I totally believe that. So
oh, absolutely.
Hang in there, everybody.
Well said. You know, the wonderful thing about hope is hope creates more reasons to hope. If hope gives you that strength to carry through, that creates opportunities that just encourage more hope and give you more validation for that hope. You know?
Yeah.
It is always worthwhile. Don't give in to the nihilism. Don't give in to that sense of futility. Don't let them push you around out there.
Take it. Use it.
And hold on to that hope. Never let it go. So,
you know, everybody's doing the best you can. Just
yep.
Keep doing the best you can. Keep that discipline as near as you can. And do your best.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm just going to sign off by saying, you know, one of the most favorite things. Do what you should do when you should do it. Comes up nicely, but so thank you everybody, and Dr. McGee, I know I stole a little bit, but any last thoughts before we sign off?
No, I'm going to give you this much. Dr. Mike has just said hope is both fragile and indestructible. Fragile because it can be shaken, indestructible because even the smallest spark can reignite it. And that's how we'll end tonight's show.
Beautifully done. Beautifully done. Bravo, and thank you for that. Well, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.